Welcome to the Vanguard Church Podcast. You're about to hear a sermon from Vanguard Church Central in the heart of Colorado Springs. With every message, it's our prayer that you hear and learn how to live out your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. May your faith be strengthened, your hope increased, and your heart inspired to live for Jesus no matter the cost. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening.
Another beautiful creation by Mikey Meza. So let's give Mikey a hand who does. That's an amazing graphic and an amazing. What you see in that imagery as he and I worked on creating that, you've got about 5 weeks to get to enjoy it and watch it multiple times. And so let me just give you a little tip from the tipster. If you look at those images, they all demonstrate life or they demonstrate death. How we see it in nature, how we see it in reality of our lives, that sense of feeling alone, feeling isolated, feeling that I'm on the outside looking in, feeling that others have what I desire, but I don't know how to move from desire to reality. Let me give you two additional images to consider. How many of you like to watch nature documentaries? Do I have any fellow, Carla? Oh, I have a lot. I have a lot. If you turn on a Nat Geo documentary and they're talking about the migration patterns of the ancient buffalo, or if they're in Africa and they're on the Sahara and they're talking about a migration pattern of any sort of herd animal, here's the one thing that I can guarantee you will be part of the documentary. Predator. There's always a predator, right, Tony? There's always a spotlight given to a prey animal and a predator animal. What do we notice when we see herds? When we see, to draw out the analogy, when we see communities, when we see families, when we see churches, those are all, for the purpose of the analogy, herds. What position in the herd does the predator always come for first? You're on the outside, you're way behind, or you're way too far ahead. In any of those positions, too far ahead, too far outside, too far behind, the predator comes for you. Why? Because you're easy. You're easy picking. Because you are not with the community, living together, it becomes easier for the predator to have you die alone. Let me give you a second image. I'm going to give it to you in the form of a word, which might seem strange, but you're with me, right? Are you with me? 9 a.m. is with me, right? All right, all right. Here's your word, legacy. How many of you like that word, legacy? Yeah, right? We've been conditioned to think, oh, legacy is a positive word, has a positive connotation. And it does, and it is a good word. I'm all for that word. I'm with you. Did you know that there's a trap when we start talking about legacy? Let me tell you what it is. Legacy is all about the end. It's all about the end. So see, let me give you an example. When you attend a funeral and people stand up and they say, let me tell you about this incredible human that I knew. As we should, let's give that testimony. But it's all past tense, right? It's all about this is what they did and this is who they were. And we get concerned with what will be said about us at the end. And if we allow ourselves to get too fixated on the end, we forget that it's the middle that's determining the legacy. See, we want those things to be said about us, but if we don't live after our birth, in the middle, before our death, if we don't live in a powerful way, an intentional way, a remarkable way, and with this most important prepositional phrase, are you ready? In the name of Jesus. If we are not living in this way, It doesn't matter what legacy will bring because there's nothing to say about the middle. Now, why do I give you these two? What could these two possibly have to do together? I submit to you, here's what they are. They're both focusing on whether you're living together or you're dying alone. Now, that may seem like a super intense title for summer series, but welcome to it, because here we are. And the reality is, whether you're thinking of the image of the herd or you're imagining what your legacy will be at some point, and death is inevitable. Whether you are one, whether you are number two, or whether you're a combination of both, let me tell you this one powerful truth. Every man for himself is not going to work. Watch this.
Here's your thief. Where did he hide it? I don't know. Why did you do it, pretty boy? Hey?
I was just sitting in the tent. Jack just took off.
Claire could have died.
I tried to give her some.
It's powerful, right? Let me give you context. Anybody know what show this is from? Lost. Hey, we got some Lost people. Caitlin, whoop, whoop. Yes, it's from Lost. This is a family favorite of the Kovacs. Craig and I, back in the day when you still did this, we watched it live. And it's now 15 to 20 years old, depending on marking from where it started or where it ended. And I just want you to know that about 10 years ago, I was watching this exact episode. And I thought to myself, which really means God put it into my mind. Do many of you know that the way that God speaks to you can often be a quote-unquote random thought that comes into your mind that is not random and it is not yours? That is a beautiful way he speaks to me. Gee, same. So what I'm telling you is that 10 years ago, and I know because I wrote it in my sermon notebook, I keep a notebook for all of my sermon writing, and I wrote, if that is not the body of Christ, then I don't know what is. Let me read this to you again. This is what Jack, the protagonist, who comes in with the voice of reason, says. We can't do this. This bickering, this infighting, this turning on each other, this devaluing of one another, this instant of saying, I don't believe you, I'm not for you, I'm not about you. Every man for himself is not going to work. If we are for ourselves, each of us individually, the nature of being for yourself means, by definition, you are not for God. You picked your side. You picked your side. And if you pick that side, you pick the losing side. We're coming into summer series hot, okay? You picked the losing side. I desire, as your pastor, for you to be on the winning side. I desire for you to be on the winning side. There's only one winner to every game that's ever going to be played, and his name is Jesus Christ. So Jack says every man for himself is not going to work. We need to figure out how we're going to survive here. He says at the beginning, he says we're all waiting for someone to come, and it could be that no one comes. And you know what hope we have? We already know who's coming. But like these survivors from a plane crash on a deserted island, we often feel remote. We feel alone. We feel isolated. And we're waiting knowing, Jesus Christ, you're coming. But I don't know what day, do you? And in the interim, I want to live in such a way that I am valuing the Lord, that I am sacrificing for the Lord, that I'm on the winning team for the Lord. And to do that, we can't be like these survivors, turning on each other, questioning each other. Jack says, we're here now. You ever think about that? The only place you've got is right now. The here and the now is where you will make a difference or you won't. He said, God knows how long we're going to be here. Amen. I mean, I could go tomorrow. So could you. We know when we're exiting to go home to be with the Lord than we know when he's coming back. So all you've got is the here and the now. If we can't figure out how to live together, Vanguard Church, we will die alone. And that is exactly the narrative the enemy is hoping for. So like I said, welcome to summer series, Live Together, Die Alone. For the next 5 weeks, we're going to be getting deep into what it means to live in a body of believers together, bringing life in Jesus' name. Do you want it? Should we do it? Oh, I'm glad because we're doing it anyway. So come along. Today we're asking one key question. What does it take to truly live together? What does it take to truly live together? What does that even mean? And I'm going to go right into our first point. Number one, be unified. Listen very carefully to the statement I'm about to give you. Vanguard Church. I'm looking at my elders in the house because they already know I'm going to say it. You do not want unity. Unity is all wrong. How many of you, like Christine right now, she just went. You don't want unity. At least not in what you think it is. You want to be unified. I'll be shorter. Vanguard Church, you don't want unity. You want to be unified. Come with me in your programs. If you're online with us and don't have a program, we're on the Bible app. You can join us. We have an incredible online team that's helping you out. But turn with me now. Look at this definition of unity. It's right here in your program. Unity represents a state of being in agreement as a collective whole. If the team is in a state of unity, it means they're all focused on the same goal and working together as a single unit. I'm going to read that one more time. Unity represents a state of being in agreement as a collective whole. If the team is in a state of unity, it means they're all focused on one goal, the same goal, and they're working together as a single unit. Now, how many of you are going, well, what's the problem with that definition? That seems like a good definition. It is a good definition. But let me tell you this. Target has unity. Think about the definition, right? They're focused on the same goal, united for the same outcome, right? They want to sell you their clothes. They want you to come buy their groceries. Delta Airlines has unity. What's the point of Delta Airlines? Get you to buy a ticket. Unity is everywhere. The church should be different. The church is not Target. God's church is not Delta Airlines. God's church is not Nike with a swoosh. So it's good to have unity, but it's not ideal. And you know what? Let me just tell you, Vanguard has all of those markers of Target or Delta. Let me break it down. Do we have a logo? Yeah. Do we have branding? Do we sell merch? Do we have a website? Do we have a mission statement? Do we have a vision statement? Do we have a matrix? See, it's not that unity is bad. It's that we have taken this concept, this definition of unity, which is a secular-minded definition, and we have applied it to the way we live sacred relationships before God, and this is where we're running amok. Let me give you an alternative. And we're going to start by finding it in Scripture. Come with me, Philippians 2, 1 through 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. What kind of mind? The one mind focused on who? Jesus Christ. What makes the church different from Nike or from Delta or from Target is that our CEO is Jesus Christ. So I don't really care about the branding, the logo, our website. I value them as a member of this church, but they don't define who we are. They reflect what we believe. They don't define who we are. They reflect what we believe. Look at 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, not some, not a few, not two or three who feel good that day, not 9 or 10 who aren't in conflict, not 11 or 12 who are going to a women's retreat, all of you have unity. There it is. Of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind of every single characteristic that could be written. Look at that list. Mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind. Psalm 133:1 is probably the most famously referenced verse on this topic. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in what? Now, very reasonably, you might be going, okay, now I'm really lost, because you said unity isn't what we want, but now you just gave me scripture that uses the word unity. But remember, a few minutes ago, I said, not unity as you know it. See, unity as we know it is Nike and Delta and Target. But who's our CEO? Who? So we are set apart. So we are different. Here's what I found in my study. In the Hebrew, this word unity, yachad. Yachad. You want to know what it means? I wanted to know too. Listen to this. It means formed together as one. Formed together as one, it is a sameness achieved only by joining together. A sameness achieved only by joining together. Go back to Ephesians 2, verse 2. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do you see how God's word? It's miraculous how he just knit that together. Yachad. Well, let me blow your mind just one step farther, shall we? Instead of unity, I told you that you need to be what? Unified. Look at the definition of unified. It indicates that something has been brought together. What was the definition of yakad? Means joined together as one. That statement, bear with me for English professor mode for just a minute. That's what we call a passive statement. There's no, in that phrasing, subject. There's no doer. Who is doing the joining? Who is doing the blending? Who is doing the knitting? Unified indicates that something has been brought together. That's also a passive statement. Or joined to form a single entity. Not a mission, not a product, not a goal, but a oneness in your very existence. It's like under a microscope when you see 8 or 9 cells and they all merge into one. That is the body of Christ. If the team has been unified, it means they have been brought together and are now driven by whoever did the joining, by whoever did the uniting. And who is that? In this house, we serve the Lord. In this house, we serve the Lord. In yakad, in that existence, it is the state of being unified because God has made us one. You ever thought about the fact that God picked you? You might say, well, Pastor Candace, for what? He picked me for what? Anything. Anything. You know, sometimes we make it in our minds. We go back to that elementary school playground and we're doing a game and, you know, the captains get elected and they say, I'm going to pick you and then in you and then you and then you. And you think the only way I'm getting picked is if I'm up there maybe doing what I'm doing right now because you've got a spotlight and you've got a microphone. False. Every single moment of your day has been selected for you by God. And when you grasp that this is how you're moving through your life, live together, die alone, becomes a whole different entity. It becomes a whole different mission. It becomes a whole different reality because you will begin to see God is at work in you every moment. Good moments, rough moments, excellent moments, moments of failure, moments of hardship, moments of winning. That has to begin to realize to you that it transcends a motto, a brand, a website, a logo, merchandise. They do not determine how we operate for the living God, for we are supernatural. In Jesus Christ's name. When we live united, we're moving beyond the natural. We're moving beyond the natural. Because we're so special? I mean, I just want to tell you, you're not. I'm not. You're like, well, that's harsh. You're only going to really grasp the importance of Jesus Christ bringing us together if we set ourselves aside. And in order to set ourselves aside, we have to see ourselves as we really are. And we are petty. And we are small. And we are afraid. And we are angry. Aren't you? I mean, I am. Am I all alone? But you know what else we are? We are also in the name of Jesus Christ. Look at the scripture. Sympathetic. We also have brotherly love, tenderness. We also have compassion. We also have sympathy. See, when we are at our greatest, living every man for himself, Jesus said, how come every man for himself isn't going to work? This is why. Because when you're living for you, you are, I guarantee you, living at your worst. Because that's what happens when ourselves drive our ship. I want what's best for me. I'm going to look out for me. I'm going to make my business decisions, my money decisions, my relationship decisions, my ministry decisions, my marital decisions, my parenting decisions, my friendship decisions. I'm going to decide to protect me. I'm going to decide to nourish me. If that is the way that you are going to live, then you are, in your essence, rejecting the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, the number one model of what it meant to die for someone else. And spoiler, it's you. He died for you. He died for you. Jesus was without sin and became sin to set you free. Every man for himself is not going to work. Modeled by your very Savior. Amen? If we can get this in our mind, if we can begin with intention to look at every discourse that we have. Now, let me just caveat this. You're not going to do this perfectly. That's not what I'm asking. That's not what God is asking. If God thought you were going to be perfect, he would never have sent you the Savior either, because you would be sinless and without blame. No one's asking for perfection. But I do believe God's asking for effort. I do believe that God is calling us for more holiness and less of ourselves, for more righteousness in his name and less of ourselves, for more of his love, for more of his patience, for more of his devotion, for more of service to him. And why shouldn't he? Why shouldn't God ask for more? I tell students when I am teaching them, there's never going to be something that God is going to ask you to do that is going to require of you more than he gave on the cross. Never. Never. C.S. Lewis said, if you're looking for an easy religion, Christianity ain't the one. It's not the one. But if we can do this, if we can begin to change in our everyday with this mentality, this is the God that we will be serving. Look with me, Isaiah 43. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5 and then at 11 through 13. It says, but now thus says the Lord. I'm going to sit because this is a long one. But thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I have called you, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. Ever felt like you're walking through fire? In the name of God, you're fireproof. Did you know that? Verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom. He's paid your bill. Cush and Seba I've given in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Wow. God said, I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. I declared, and I saved, and I proclaimed, and when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Also, henceforth, for all of eternity, I am he. There is none who can deliver from my hand. This is the best part. And that's saying something on this passage. Listen to this. I am the Lord. I work, and who can turn it back? Who can turn it back? If we as Vanguard Church can live together instead of dying alone, then together as one yachad, as one family, as one entity designed, picked, formulated by God, then everything and anything we do in that name can never be undone. Now that, my friend, that's legacy. That's living. That's purpose. You're looking for purpose? There it is. You're looking for hope? There it is. You're looking for intention? There it is. You're looking for your next step? There it is. That is the God that we serve. This God who gave everything for us in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're like, well, I don't know if I can be bothered because I'm really ticked off at this guy over here. I don't know if I will do that for you, God, because that's twice a month and I don't even want to do once. I don't know, God, if I will do that for you because that person offended me. That person said hard things. In my life, I'm going through the firestorm. It is not accidental that the Lord picks this language in his holy scripture to talk to you. Look at it again. When you go through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you will not be burned. Most analogies of how we're struggling. You ever notice that? People say, I'm drowning. Or people say, I'm on fire. You think that's accidental? I don't either, because God just addressed both of those mentalities in his holy scripture thousands of years before you ever said it. God, I'm drowning. God, I'm on fire. And he says, I have you. I'll carry you through. But not if you're going to be on each side of the herd all by yourself. Not if you're going to try to race ahead of me and tell me, God, what to do. That doesn't work. Not if you're going to be so far behind that you're not in movement with me. Not if you're so focused on the end that you're not living the life that I gave you. This is our God. This is who he is. Let's live for him, shall we? You got to get fired up about this, because I could give you all the mission, all the purpose, all the merch, all the logo. I could shovel it all day long to you, and that without any identity of oneness formed by God Almighty behind it, and it will fail. It will fail. But we're here now. This is where we are. And if we don't figure out how to live together, we will die alone. I'm going to read you this list. Because you might be, I hope that you are, stirred in your spirit. Where you're beginning to think to yourself, how do I look at my everyday life? Am I pouring out for God? Am I doing that? And even if you are, can you do more? I was listening to a praise and worship song with my husband in the car driving here. And it's often my go-to song. I've mentioned it to you before. But thinking about the lyric, every last drop, every last drop, every last drop. Are you giving God every last drop? Because I'll tell you what, there's days where I'm like, I'm all dried out. I'm all dried out, God. I just feel like I've given you every last drop. And then someone will knock on my door or send a text, or they'll say, I have a need. And you know what I always find? I find more oil in the jar. But I don't find more oil in the jar because I can replenish it, because I can refill it, because I can remake it. It has to come from the only God who can supply what he's asking you to do in his name. You've got to get yourself out of the way. Too many times we're like, I'm operating for you, Lord, but we're really not. We're on our own agenda. We're on our own motto. We're on our own mission. And until and unless we can get out of the lane of God and say, how can I contribute, Lord? Until we say, how can I contribute, Lord? Then we might not even be operating in the name of the Lord. We're operating in our own. And that's what brings us to point two. What does it take to truly live together? You have to find your ways to contribute. You have to find your ways to contribute. Let me read you this list. I started to read it to you. And then, you know, the Holy Spirit took me away. But now we're back. Here's a few ideas of the practical. Santos, I'm looking at you. I am so proud of Santos. As the family pastor, you are one of my heroes in ministry. Can I just tell you, at a time when we needed to relaunch a ministry, and need is the right verb, where the Holy Spirit said, from the Lord, I want you guys to do, I want you, Vanguard Church, as an entity that has been formed into sameness by my hand, and therefore you will do what I ask you to do, and we say gladly, yes, Lord. We needed to relaunch an entire ministry from days of old, and Santos and Rachel said, I will. And Rachel served faithfully alongside Santos, and God has called Rachel behind the drums. And I was thinking, Rachel, just this morning, it sounded awesome. So thank you. I think about VBB, and I think about, I'm looking at so many faces sitting in this room who led in multiple capacities at VBB, and it was a powerful time of reaching down into the depths of the little ones who are behind us and saying, come on, we've got Jesus waiting for you right here, and we'll serve him up to you. I think about the power and the potency when I'm watching this family act as one. It's like it truly is miraculous to stand there, and I get overwhelmed. I am not a feeler, but it will just rush over me. And the great pride that I feel, not of myself, not even for Vanguard, but proud of how God is willing to join us together for such a time as this. And when we move with him, we form like one moving body all together. No one's on the periphery. No one's ahead. No one's behind. And it is supernatural what can come from that. And if you've seen it, if you've tasted it, if you've witnessed it, it's addictive. Because I just want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. I want more of you. Show me your glory. Show me where you are. Hold a baby. Where's Carla? Amen. Carla, we need people to hold babies. Carla's our nursery director. Offer a hug. Hugging is hard for me. If you're getting hugs from me, don't stop wanting a hug. That's not the point of this little side. I don't love giving hugs. I love to hug the body of Christ. I will hug you. Come on. I'll squeeze you. Do you know why? Because that's how we exhibit sympathy and tenderness and brotherly love and kindness. And it's not in my wheelhouse of comfortability, but it is what Jesus did for others. And I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be like me. Me is not glam. Vacuum a floor. Where's Gabe? You ever seen Gabe vacuum a floor? It's miraculous. Because I'm telling you, I don't know how it gets vacuumed that fast and that clean, but there it is. Gabe, you are a brother who says, what do you need? He says, what do you need? What can I do for you? How can I help you? He's always at the ready. Gabe, I appreciate you so much. Greeting at the door. Where's Crystal? Oh, I came out and Crystal's greeting at the door, and I thought, God is good today. People were walking in and she said, hallelujah. Don't you want to be greeted like that? Thank you, Crystal. Bring a potluck dish. Listen, I'm from Iowa, and I'm just going to tell you right now that Colorado potlucks are lacking. I'm from Amish country. People are building barns with those side dishes. We're like serious about it. So come, when Vanguard has a family night, come, bring your potluck dish. They're called family nights for a reason, amen? Come be a part of the family. Discover your spiritual gifts. Oh, I switched from you, right? I went from the practical to the deep, just like that, right? I'm tricky. If you don't know how God has wired and designed you for his unique purpose in this body, let's get you there. Let's get you there, because when you're operating as God has designed you, you are a supernatural force to be reckoned with in the name of God. Boom. Let's discover your... Say yes to a women's event. Yes. Also a very hard one for me, because large groups, but hey, we're going to a women's event, right? It's not always, by the way, just about you receiving. Do you know it's also about you giving? Hey, it's about me getting Caitlin in my office and saying, oh, can I already book you for student winter retreat ministry? Because does Caitlin not have an incredible gift of worship? Yes, she does. Amen. A men's event. A men's event. Gather on a Monday night. Tuesday night Bible study. Text each other. Call each other. Go get coffee. And here's one near and dear to my heart. Will you put your tweens and your teens and students? I can't pastor them if you don't bring them to me. I'll get them in the hallway, make no mistake about it. I am not abashed or ashamed. I'll get them in the hallway, I'll get them in the bathroom, I'll get them. I'm like, how are you? What's happening? Anywhere I see them. But if you really want them to experience revolutionary change in their lives, you've got to get them in student ministry. That's where they are in this life. These are examples that you can find your ways to contribute. John 17, 20 through 23 and 26, they say, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. Just as you, Father, listen to this model. So Jesus is teaching, I want you to be one. And if you were sitting at his feet, you might say, why, Jesus? Why do you want me to be one? And anticipating that question, listen to his answer. Do you all know that the Lord anticipates your questions? All of them. Here's his answer. Just as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, let them also be in us, so that the world may believe that you've sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as God the Father and Jesus Christ, the we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become, listen to this adjective, perfect, a perfect one. Perfect. So that the world may know that you sent me and I loved them even as you loved me. I made known to them your name. Jesus got his job done. And I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. What does it take to truly live together? Final point. Decide to be his one, capital O. Decide to be his one so we aren't undone. You want to watch a church unravel? Take Jesus out of the equation. Every time. Every time. Every time. The only former of our oneness is Jesus Christ. You take out the creator, you will eradicate the creation. Amen? In wedding vows, we say at the end, often in tradition, what God has joined together, let no man tear apart. We need to live together or we are going to die alone. And every man for himself is not going to work. Let's be unified. I hope you feel inspired. Find your ways to contribute. Decide that you're going to operate as a one, capital O, in the name of Jesus Christ. This series is meant to impassion you. It's meant to embolden you. It's meant to light you up. Because in my heart of hearts, this is already who Vanguard is.
Thanks for listening to the Vanguard Central podcast. We encourage you to go out and live your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. God bless you, friend. See you next time.